That had been a hard day for the disciples, because they had been called to do something that absolutely, totally overwhelmed them. And when they had pointed out that this was a desert place, there's nothing here, and it's best to send these people home, the Lord said, no, you feed them. Wow. The suggestion of the Lord, he said, they need not depart. Give ye unto them. Well, that was like a command to move a mountain. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're continuing with our message on the service of Christ, Matthew chapter 14. I trust you'll stay tuned right through the program today. We have the hymn, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Must I be carried to the skies in flowery beds of ease? Oh, my brother, sister, rise up and let us serve the Lord in these times. And I trust that the message of God's word today will be a quickening, a stirring of your soul, that you may give yourself to the service of the Master. As you know, we've been looking at the book of Romans, and Paul deals extensively in chapter 2 how the Jew is just as lost as the Gentile, because he's resting in the law, trusting in outward circumcision, and is in need of a new heart. Here's a question for you. How do these things apply to Christians? Well, the remarks which are made here respecting the Jews are also applicable to professing Christians, and we take these few lessons. That the external rites of religion are of much less importance than the state of the heart. Well, we noted that, and we need to ever note it. We can never lose sight of the fact that it is not the external rites of religion, it's not the outward performance, but rather it is a new heart, a heart that is repentant towards sin and is exercising faith in the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus. Also, we learn that the only value of those rites is to promote holiness of heart and life. This is what the ordinances of the gospel do, the reading of God's word, prayer, baptism, communion. They are to encourage or promote holiness of heart and life. Also, that the mere fact that we are born of pious ancestors will not save us. Even though they be born again, and even though they have hearts that are right with God, yet we cannot trust in that for our salvation. Each one, each generation, each child in the family needs to be individually born of the Spirit. Jesus said, ye must be born again, and that applies to each and every person. So I trust that today that you will take this to heart. Well, now we go to our hymn, Am I a Soldier of the Cross?
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Are then a foes for me to face? Must I not stand the flood? Is this the world a friend to grace, to help me unto God?
We're back at Matthew 14 and those few verses that we read, and the whole account of the feeding of the 5,000. That had been a hard day for the disciples, because they had been called to do something that absolutely, totally overwhelmed them. And when they had pointed out that this was a desert place, there's nothing here, and it's best to send these people home, the Lord said, no, you feed them. Wow. The suggestion of the Lord, he said, they need not depart. Give ye unto them. Well, that was like a command to move a mountain. And there was no way that they could even begin to feed such a large assembly of people in a desert place without some major supplies of food. But you know, the Lord continually sends his servants and his people to do the impossible. He told Noah to build an ark that would defy a worldwide flood. Mind you, it took him 120 years to build it, but it worked. And he followed God's design, and God preserved Noah and his family. Likewise, Joseph, raised up to feed not only the nation of Egypt, but surrounding countries during a time of famine. We also think of Moses at the Red Sea, called to do the impossible. And God said, just touch the water with your rod and tell the people to go forward. There is a command in reality to do what is normally impossible. I think of David, a stripling shepherd boy, to stand before Goliath and cut him down. Humanly speaking, that boy couldn't have done it. Then the New Testament apostles, they were sent to turn the world upside down and defy the odds of the Roman Empire in doing it. And you know the story. Paul the apostle, he said, who is sufficient for these things? And then thankfully he answered his own question. And he said, our sufficiency is of God. Now, in our day, you and I are called, excuse me, I still have a, I told you I wasn't completely better yet. That's just a little proof of this old cough is still a little bit nagging to me. But we, in the work of the gospel today, are also sent to do the impossible. We cannot convert a soul. We cannot talk somebody into salvation or convince him with our own little ways that he needs to bow the knee and surrender his whole life to live opposite to the world, a life of surrender, a life of self-denial, to take up the cross and to follow the Lord Jesus. I've been at this work for 30 years this year in Canada, right here in Surrey. And I am absolutely more convinced today than ever before that a conversion is a miracle, an absolute God intervention to bring a soul out of love with sin in the world to be a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus. And so when I come to this miracle of the Lord feeding the 5,000 out of a boy's lunch, I say, that's me. That's just like me. God has called me to preach this gospel to a needy, lost world. And what have I got? It's so little among so many. And the message really is just give it all to Jesus. Whatever you have. And they scrounged around and they looked for food and they found a boy with five barley loaves and two little fishes. And what are these among so many? Just give them to me. Just give them to me. And then we see the rows of hungry men holding out their bare hands, waiting to be fed. And then we see the 12 baskets filled at the end. An unquestionable miracle. Now there's something encouraging here to every one of God's servants. This is the only miracle that Jesus performed that is recorded in all four Gospels. There has to be a reason for that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote their Gospels independently. They wrote their Gospels with their own purpose in view. Matthew was interested in Jesus as the king. Mark was interested in Jesus as the servant. Luke was interested in the Lord as the priest.
There's more about prayer in Luke than any other gospel. And John, he was interested in the Son of the Father sent down from heaven. And when they learned of this miracle, and perhaps they were all there to witness it themselves, that they said, I got to include this in my gospel. Mark, Matthew, of course, he had to use this miracle because he was writing about the ruler of creation, the king of heaven and earth. And it was a great display that day. Mark wanted to declare Jesus as the servant. And oh, what a mighty work of service it was to feed these 5,000. Luke, he wanted to emphasize how Jesus prayed over this bread and said, Father, bless this bread. And what a blessing it was. And then Jesus, of course, he's the Son. He's the very bread himself that was come down from heaven. And what an amazing thing when you see the words of Jesus, when he says, I am the bread of life. And then these works with his own hands performing this amazing miracle. Now, some people are very weary about serving the Lord. I think they have been battered by the storms of life. I think they have been discouraged and brought to the point where, like Jeremiah, I will never speak again in the Lord's name. To take that position tonight, you're really saying you've lost sight of the one that we serve. Because in this great account where Jesus does the impossible and where we learn that nothing's too hard for the Lord, but we also learn what a gracious master he is. This seems to be the theme of the day. This morning we learned of Peter how the Lord in tenderness restored him. Here we see Jesus' compassion for all men. And that's my first major thrust in this message here tonight. This miracle began out of Jesus' compassion. It was Jesus who said unto the disciples, they need not depart. Let us feed them. The disciples, they wanted to send them away. They had been out in the open for a long, long day. It was desert, nothing close, nothing convenient. And the disciples said, the only thing we can do is disperse the people, just send them away hungry and faint. And said, Lord, the Lord said, we can't do that. It's our responsibility. They're our guests. And in verse 16, Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. What a mighty task this was. But the Lord, of course, took on himself to do the impossible and feed the people. And he did it out of compassion. If you go back just a little bit to verse 14, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. I just want to speak to you tonight on this compassion issue. I think it may well be the lost ingredient in church life today. Compassion. We know that it's that great big long Greek word that talks about the bowels of man. When they were moved with compassion, they were heart physically sick. When's the last time that you were really moved with human compassion for the burdens, the needs, the cares of your fellow man? That's what this is about. Do we really want to serve? Do we really want to minister? And surely the church of the New Testament has to reflect the heart of the Lord Jesus. If we miss that, we become an institution, not an extension of the Lord's own ministry to his people. The desire of God's people in every place that we have a role in this world is to lift the burden from the hearts of men and women. It has to be our role. If that's not what we are about, why are we here? That's what the church's ministry has to be. And so I've got a couple of questions I want to put to you tonight. And if it was one-to-one, I think we would each blush. Do we really care about men? Or do we just see them through a stained glass window, distantly, darkly, but not really getting involved? Next question is, have we become cynical? I think that's the great danger in the modern church. We become cynical. The church has been battered with scandals and scams and with loss of testimony. The voice of the church in the world today is just mocked. The only thing that can change that is a real heart burden that is expressed in serving a lost, needy world. Give ye unto them. If the Lord Jesus was with us, this is what he would say. Now we need to apply this to the gospel need in men's hearts. We're living in a rich country. We're living in a country where the majority of people have no physical want. But all men have a gospel want. And all men are on the broad road except for a miracle. And they need the bread God has sent down from heaven. You have a little of that. And when we give it to the Lord and say, Lord, would you just take my life, my influence, my witness, bless it and break it, then surely there can be a ministry that will make a difference. Not just me and my little bit, but my surrender to the Savior and watch him at work. I think we need to see that in our church here. We need to see the Lord minister miracles of grace. The second thing I want to mention here tonight, and that is this miracle displays the Lord's use of human means. A boy's lunch. You know, the Lord could have fed this crowd by ways that the Lord did it in past times. He could have sent angels. He could have sent manna. What a wonderful thing if just a cloud came along and dropped that manna again, the New Testament version of what they got in the wilderness in Moses' day. Wouldn't that have been amazing? And Jesus prayed it down. Would that not bring honor to him? Or as he opened a rock, he could have again fed and nurtured these people by any amazing means. But he took a boy's lunch. He said, what do you have? Give it to me. And the Lord chose to use what the disciples had. Can you see here what the Lord always does? He uses human means. Us. Me and you. He doesn't send angels. He doesn't send amazing sky glowing miracles. He works through his redeemed people, bought by his own blood. They have become his disciples, his witnesses, and he takes what we have and he multiplies it. Oh, blessed multiplication. our little acts, our little deeds, our words, our prayers, our ministry, and the Lord uses it in His way for His glory. You see, this miracle is the greatest motivation to serve the Lord. There's no greater master. There is no one who loves as Jesus loves. And there's no one who can do more with our resources than what the Lord Jesus can do. As I said, I can't convert a soul, but the Lord can. And He can take a little word, a little statement, a little testimony, and He can make that a miracle of new life in some soul. I can't build a church, but the Lord can. You think of all the odds that are stacked against the fundamental, reformed, biblical, conservative, evangelical church of today. A church is a miracle in the world today. And only the Lord can make a church. And as we give ourselves up to the Lord and give our all to Jesus, He works His will. Never despise the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Never despise them. The greatest of God's servants have been like this boy with his little lunch. Now, I'm going to spread my net a little wider here. And I'm going to think about the harvest fields of the world. And I'm thinking firstly of Hudson Taylor, the English missionary who went out to China. I don't know what the population of China was when Hudson Taylor arrived, but he was one man in a foreign mission, a foreign language with millions of people. What is one among so many? You may have read of his battles and his near-death experiences. There were civil wars going on all around him. But God gave him souls, and God gave him a ministry, and he was the father figure of the China Inland Mission. Just one. Henry Martin in India, he was the British missionary who went out with the British East India Company as a chaplain. Due to financial straits, he couldn't afford to do anything else in God's work. He was taken on by the British East India Company as a chaplain, and he went out there and he gave the scriptures. That was his big achievement. But I want to read you his prayer. I want to read you the burden that was beating in the heart of Henry Martin. He says, I prayed that whilst she, and I've entered the British Empire here to explain who she is, sent the thunder of her arms to distant regions of the globe, might not remain proud and ungodly at home, but might show herself great indeed by sending forth the ministers of her church to diffuse the gospel of peace. That's what he took with him to India, a burden. Not to join the forces of military might, but to preach the gospel. And the life of Henry Martin stands tall among all missionaries. William Carey is another name. He preached 10 years before he was the first convert, who had been the translator, helping him to translate the language of the Bible. C.H. Spurgeon in London. If you'd known London in Spurgeon's day, it was the day of Charles Dickens. Orphanages, poor houses, street people, pickpockets. A nation or a city that was a cesspool of sin. And God took a country boy and used him to preach the gospel. I know he was the greatest English preacher since George Whitefield, but God made him what he was. And God used a man, just one man. And I want to say these things tonight because I don't want you to give up in serving the Lord. You and I are little, we are weak, we have few resources, but in the hands of the Lord, he can do something with them. He can do a whole lot more than we could ever do in our manner, in our way. So don't turn your back on the Lord and say, I'll never serve you again. Give your life into the hands of the Lord Jesus.
I trust you've been blessed and encouraged through our program here today. Just a final word, a missionary story that might just thrill your heart. A missionary visited a pygmy village in Africa. The missionary recognized a man to whom he had previously given the gospel. Have you received God's word into your heart? Asked the missionary. Yes, I have, and my people have too. Every night we meet for prayer, we sing our songs, Jesus loves me, and what can wash away my sins? Then we ask God to protect us through all the night. That's fine, the missionary said, then asked, if you should suddenly die, would you go to heaven? The African stood to attention. He saluted smartly and replied, when I die, I will go to God's village. I will salute him and say, greetings, God, I am come to my house in your village. When God asks me what right I have to enter, I will tell him that his Son, Jesus Christ, died for me and washed my heart clean in his blood. Then he will say to me, enter, your house is waiting for you. Praise God that every Christian who has been washed in the blood of Jesus can say too that we are going home to be with the Lord, which no doubt will be far better. May the Lord minister to your heart and bless you abundantly. Thank you for listening to our broadcast. Stay tuned for these closing announcements.